This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, hour number two, big show. Barry, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll be joined by the Sports Mappers at 3 o'clock. They'll take you home till 4 on a simulcast, and then the Blitz will do the same till 7. I'm sure they'll have plenty of stories as well from Vegas. We were talking football. We got plenty of Texans out of the way, but holy cow, were there a bunch of stuff going on in the NFL this weekend. How bad do kickers suck?
Boy. You're the Vikings?
Or the Browns.
The Browns.
Browns,
is that
too?
Guy still alive? Did he hang himself?
So the Vikings already cut their kicker and picked Bailey,
yeah, that was
the ex-Cowboys All-Pro kicker.
I'm surprised it took that long.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he wasn't cut on the plane. Like, sorry, you can't ride back. Well, it was a home game. He got lucky.
No.
Oh, no. You're right.
It was Green Bay.
Yeah, they should have left his ass in Green Bay. Look, you can't. You're not coming back with us. You're on your. You Uber back to Minnesota.
Right.
But you ain't riding on the plane
for
with
as
us.
Much as you cost us, you can afford to pay your own way back home to clean out your locker.
Yeah, that was ugly.
So that was ugly. Don't get me started on the calls in that game because there were a plenty that.
Which call in particular? Nothing stood out to me, Joel. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Roughing the passer on an interception.
A lot of people saying it was a phantom call. He did drive his shoulder into his stomach a little bit. A little bit. Not a lot.
First of all,
a little bit.
Tony Corrente, the official who made the call, said he lifted him up. That is false.
No, he
was already airborne. He was already airborne and he wrapped him around the waist.
Don't
get me started. I watched it 85 times.
He had an arm under his leg, almost like a double leg.
Nick, you saw the call. Did you see a lift?
Nick. You ever seen a double leg takedown, right? Where you shoot and then you just grab both legs and
pull
them?
I hope he's just pandering.
That's
with me.
Exactly what he did. No, I'm being dead serious.
Nick, you saw it, right?
I didn't see a lift.
I watched it.
Thank you. There's
you
no
didn't
lift.
See a lift.
No.
You're still high from Vegas. There was a lift.
No.
Send me a video. I want to see it again.
I already posted it to my Twitter, so find it
okay.
there.
Okay. Yeah. What's your Twitter handle?
Yeah,
Pac-Man
right.
Joel.
Yeah, because you weren't tweeting at him the entire time.
All I tweeted was some
he
eyes.
He did it Saturday. He
just
did it Sunday.
Watching.
I said, I wish you were passionate and religious enough about a team. One of them. I don't care if it's college or pro, so that I can do the same to you. Because then he gets everybody stirred up. And then I get, thank God I don't look at Twitter during games. Because then I get like 85 messages. Someone check in on Pac-Man Joel. Is he still alive? Do we need to get him some kind of help? No.
Okay,
I'm
watching the video. Yeah, he drove him into the ground.
You're full of
man,
don't
look
get
at that.
Me to
boom.
Cuss.
Shoulder into the gut. You can't see it from this angle,
phantom
but
holding
left
call
leg.
Also called back a Jimmy Graham touchdown. I love how everybody after week one was telling me how piss poor the Packers offensive line was. Oh, by the way, they took a one-legged quarterback, protected him the entire game against one of the best defenses in football, and they had every right to be in that game till the very end, and I'm not going to say who should have won, could have won. I hate ties. I wish the NFL would do something about it because I hated the Steelers-Browns tie, and I hate this one too, and... I hate it
I feel
much
like you
more.
Hate this one more.
Well, there's no question about it because I thought they were going to get annihilated with Rodgers on one leg. And to be in control and leading for most, if not almost all of the game, it was very tough to swallow.
Yeah, it's got to be a tough outcome.
Yeah.
Because I'm with you. If you're a Packers fan, you had to go in thinking, well, there's no chance we win this game.
And I said that.
And like you said, then you're up, 20-7 going into the fourth quarter?
He throws the bomb to Diggs that gets him going.
Defense lets you down.
God, the catch that Thielen made
comeback.
Between two defenders.
Yeah.
Oh, that
here's
pass?
The, yeah.
Wow.
Well, and here's the thing,
how does
too.
That happen?
Think about that. Because if you watch that
replay,
too. At first
I was like,
too,
is he in bounds?
Defenseless receiver. So a safety that would otherwise come and lower the boom on Thielen instead was like swiping with his hands so he didn't get touched. Earlier in the game, and I know you guys weren't watching it like I was watching every single play. The other thing that came about was in terms of the roughing the passer penalties, Packers nose guard Mike Daniels gets through into the backfield and who's Kirk Cousins is rolling, okay? Mm-hmm. Daniels gets one arm around him, and Cousins pump fakes. Daniels is so worried at that point about, I can't touch him anymore because I'll get a penalty. He lays off. Cousins never threw the ball. And Daniels is like looking at it, the guy that was blocking him like, man, you know, good pass rush, good play. And also he turns around and goes, what the? And there goes Cousins running down the field. You got secondary players across the league playing safety and corner, and you got defensive linemen on pass rushes that are walking around on eggshells because they don't know what they're going to call and what they're not.
And yeah, they don't. And just some more news from that game. Running back Dalvin Cook suffered a hamstring injury.
He looks good, too.
Yeah, ran 10 times, 38 yards. But we'll have to see what happens with him going into next week after the hamstring injury, because he tweaked it, and then I think he came out at that point and never went back in. So,
well, they're lucky enough to have Latavius Murray, too, so they were kind of doing the two-headed monster anyway. And their O coordinator had said that they wanted to get Murray more touches. But, man, Dalvin Cook, to come back that quickly off of an ACL and look that good, he's, you know, they're only going to get better.
All right, better quarterback. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers.
I know where you're going with this.
Patrick Mahomes.
I knew you were going to do that.
Or...
who I said was going to make some noise.
Or Tom Brady or Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Or Blake Bortles.
Or Blake Bortles.
Who beat him.
Yeah, like you said, thumped him.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those going around.
The top two quarterbacks in the NFL after 2 weeks, in order, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Patrick Mahomes.
Unreal. Patrick Mahomes has 10 touchdowns in his first 2 weeks as a starter.
3 games, 2 weeks. Yeah, because he started week 17 of last year. But people forget about that.
They do forget about that.
But, yeah, in 2 games, 10 touchdowns. Dude is playing out of his mind. It helps that he's got probably the biggest threat in the NFL, and Tyreek Hill, plus a guy that can run the ball, and Kareem Hunt. They've got Travis Kelce on that team. Offensively, they are loaded. I feel bad for the Chiefs, though, because they're literally going to have to score 50 points to beat people every week. I mean, they put up 42 and hung in against the Steelers.
No doubt about it. I mean, here's the thing. Tony Gonzalez, the ex-chief, is out there saying, hey, if they could just get a serviceable defense, this is a team that you have to consider right now with all their weapons. When you've got Hill, and you've got Hunt, and you've got Travis Kelce, and you've got Sammy Watkins on the other side, they have all... We were talking about the Viking skill set
being roll around,
and the Falcons, but oh my goodness, who thought the Chiefs were going to be this loaded and that this kid was going to be this good this soon? You got to respect what they're doing right now because... Look, they took it to the Steelers, and the Steelers got some real issues.
Yeah,
did you see Antonio Brown?
James Conner was 17 yards rushing.
You know there's a certain running back sitting at home just laughing his ass off.
You all counted me out after 1 week, but James Conner fell back down to earth.
Until I hear that beep, beep, and that Brinks truck backing up in my driveway. Uh-huh. Y'all enjoy yourselves, because I'll be back in week 10 to make sure I become a free agent. I'm getting the hell out, because Antonio Brown's going after their offensive coordinator on the sidelines. He's not happy because he's not getting touches. And they fired Todd Haley. They fired the guy that at least could keep everything under control.
Yeah,
he's in Cleveland. And now you got everybody running amok.
He's out in Cleveland.
Second kicker issue.
Yeah, but damn, man. They almost beat the Saints.
Should have beat the Saints if they got a guy that could kick an extra point. He missed 2 extra points and 2 field goals.
Tied this very Steelers team and then took the Saints to the brink. If he could have just made, was it the extra point? Huh? If they converted on man, you got to be feeling crazy if you're a Browns fan too. But I can't imagine how much better they would be with Baker Mayfield. I'm not going to lie. I feel like Tyrod Taylor has done okay. But I feel like with some of the dynamics that Baker Mayfield would bring to that team, they might be 2-0 if Baker Mayfield's their quarterback. Is that crazy to think that?
No, am I crazy? I want to say that I think it was Tony Gonzalez again who said, you know what? With as much as they got close but no cigar, and the fact that Tyrod Taylor is a game manager, why not give it a shot and get him going now? Because obviously they have an offensive line that can protect.
Yeah.
Their offensive weapons are good, minus Josh Gordon, who did it again.
He's out.
He got cut.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. Now they're out there also
saying... Did you see him tweet out, does anyone need a deep threat receiver? Not with that issues. Not with your baggage.
So if you missed it, Josh Gordon, from what was first reported, was tweaked a hamstring while doing a promotional shoot that was not endorsed by the team or set up by the team. And that was the last straw. Yeah. Now there's also information coming out now that on the Saturday meetings leading up to the Sunday game that he showed up and looked less than himself, and there was innuendo that he might be either close to or already relapsing. So there's obviously going to be a lot thrown against the wall right now, but it's a bad look that got worse. And it's just, if you are the Browns trying to start from scratch and restart, this is one where you gave it every chance and every opportunity, and it's time to move on.
Yeah. And I tell you, man, the Saints did not look good. The Saints could very well be 0-2 just as much as they are 1-1.
I'll tell you who did look good, but they obviously this week they played a very, very poor opponent. But the Rams are the real deal.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, we know their defense is legit, but that Buffalo's a disaster. And I feel bad for Buffalo. Next two games?
Chargers. I'm talking about the Cardinals.
My bad.
Cardinals like 34-0.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of bummed about because I actually like Bruce Arians, but I can't believe that he could not score at all.
Arians is in the booth now. He's at CBS. Yeah. He retired, and the new guy just
garbage.
Yeah. Sam Bradford. Garbage.
By the way, if your number ends in 1429, just call. That's too many words. Too many words to read.
Before we go to break, by the way.
Yes.
You guys are going to enjoy this one. So I got a text from Jong. Jong, could you please unban my number? Joel banned me today for this text. And he said, how about instead of a swear jar, y'all have a cringy, corny rap rhyme jar and Joel puts a dollar in every time. Think about it. I don't think I abused the text line. I want back in. First of all, we kid all the time about blocking. 9 times out of 10, we don't block you. You weren't blocked. And you had 85 other texts that I noticed you didn't quote. But you know what?
What's the number? What's the last four? I'll tell you if they're blocked.
0845. 832 and 0845. So, Jose Gonzalez, if you're out there.
Oh, boy. Just full-on name.
Well, there you go. You put it out there trying to beg your way back in. Well, you were never out in the first place. But if you want to just act a little bit like more realistically even-keeled, you probably wouldn't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, 0845 is not blocked.
Thank you, Jose. Have a nice day. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Knee deep in hour number two of the big show. It is Barry. It is Nick. It is Joel. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday, a fun day. We appreciate you being along for the ride. Nicholas back safe and sound from Las Vegas. So good to have him back. Texans 0-2, hosting the Giants in the home opener this weekend.
Apparently, Ian Rappaport just tweeted Patriots close to a deal with Josh Gordon.
Yeah, several people had also sent us that message. That's going to be where the Patriot way is going to be tested because you are going to have to, he's going to have to want to be there and accept the way that they do things. And then they are going to have to try and get a guy who has shown that he does not like to do it anyway, but his own way to kind of conform into the Patriots.
I think they'll be able to keep him from getting in trouble in terms of substance abuse. Cause you look at Chad, you just don't know whether or not he's going to play well. Cause you look at Chad Ochocinco when he went with the Patriots, he really didn't get in, he didn't get in any trouble. He just didn't perform.
I can tell you who would be smart. He'd be smart to listen to who should pick up the phone. Randy Moss. Because Randy Moss will go in there and tell you, it ain't going to be all sunshine and roses. You're going to hate a lot of things they do and the way they do it. But if you just stick to your game plan and handle your business, you got one of the best of all time throwing you the ball in a situation where you're going to win, which you haven't experienced since you've been in the league. And it can work out really good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. You can resurrect your career. There's that opportunity, especially with Tom Brady and your skills on the field. You just need to get your head in the game and take it serious for once.
But we don't know if is it official that it had something to do with him smoking weed again or what?
No, he said it was because of the injury, and plus they were worried he was going to relapse. He had that injury. He was injured doing a non-team related sponsorship thing. Steelers fan Juan wanted to know what happened to the Steelers offense. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Ryan Shazier isn't there, and they missed that dude.
That's defense.
I mean defense. That's what he asked. What's wrong with the Steelers defense? They miss Ryan Shazier. Like crazy, they missed that dude. Good luck trying to guard some of these tight ends in the league without him. And run stoppers, yeah. He was really important to that Steelers defense.
As
and ever
good as
since
TJ
he went
Watt
out,
has been.
And he's up there in sacks right now. Second, I think he's third in the league in sacks.
They overall, as a defense, finally got to that point, kind of like the Seahawks, but they actually had a longer shelf life. than the Seahawks.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of guys that got old in a hurry. The secondary got slower. The big names, the James Harrisons of the world, the unfortunate incident with Shazier. They had to kind of start retooling, and it's going to take some time. They're not the Steelers' defense of the last several years when they were dominant.
Nope. J.J. Watt also had a stripped ball that no Texan fell on. Yeah, that was a big opportunity they missed out on when Davis fumbled out of bounds. Does Bill O'Brien's salary go against the cap? Nope.
No.
Giants versus Texans. Who will keep pace for number one? Buffalo. That's who will keep. Buffalo is the worst team in football by far. It's not even close. Not even close.
Well, and you got guys quitting at halftime.
Yeah, well, there's
calling
that
it
too.
A career.
Buffalo, not only are they already 0-2 and the worst team in football, they've got the Vikings and then the Packers over there next 2 weeks. They're definitely 0-4. They're definitely and the first pick of the 2019 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select
Ed Oliver.
Yeah, they're bad.
Which sucks because otherwise I need to get keep Ed Oliver in Houston.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, but how about that? Vontae Davis just quitting at halftime.
Unbelievable. And I thought there's no way that could be true. And then after the game, they're asking his teammates and they're like, he sold us out. He quit on us. It's crazy. The coach didn't want to talk about it at all. And then today he goes out and tries with the heartfelt, I just don't have it anymore. I didn't mean any disrespect to my teammates. Man, that locker room is not only your family, they're your coworkers, they're your brothers in arms. And when you turn your back on them in the middle of a game, they may need you for special teams. They may need you for depth. If you say, it's one thing to say, I just feel like it's not there, either, whether it be anymore or just today. They can put someone else on the field. But because there's only so many people that are allowed to be on the field suited up, if an injury happens or something like that and you're not there, that's selfish.
Do you think that it had anything to do with him being inactive in week one?
But he was active in week two.
Yeah, I know. But do you think
that... You can't do that. You chose to sign there.
Well...
Plus, he had a couple of tackles. It wasn't like he was... hurt or something like that, you know.
I think he just looked around and went, this sucks. I don't want to be here.
Well, there's, this is going to be the interesting thing in the whole situation.
I'm not good anymore. This team's not good anymore.
If he sticks with retirement.
2:30, by the way, I'm walking out of this radio show. Halfway through, I'm leaving.
Joel's like, yes.
I can't do this anymore. I know God's got a plan for me.
You got to go call your grandma?
It is not here.
You got to go call your grandma?
I'm going to go call my grand.
Here's my thing. If he comes back and tries to play for somebody else, then you know that it was all about bad situation,
like
hated
year,
it,
you
didn't like it. Yeah, tries to get out of his deal. Because he's still under contract.
Yeah, but for the year.
Right. Was it a one-year deal he signed?
I believe so.
Okay, if that's the case. But if he truly is retired, then you know. Look, just...
It was a one-year deal.
Just watching that guy on Hard Knocks a couple years ago, I'm not sure...
I'm going to call my grandmother.
Yeah. I'm not sure he's...
Yeah, he is a one-year deal, just for the
top
year.
Top notch in the attic.
No?
I think there's some stuff going on in there that...
Think he's got a screw loose?
Yeah.
I mean, you just quit on a football team and walk away in the middle of the season. Man.
And if you're another team, it's a really bad look that you know... It almost looks like you're bailing because they're bad.
Yeah.
And no one wants that because every team's going to have their ups and downs. But, it, you know, when the going gets tough and you get going... That's a bad luck.
You get going the hell out
the
door.
I got to go. I got to call him grandma. I got to get out of here.
A friend of mine said the double pass could have been intentional grounding. No. It was just an illegal forward pass. It's not. You can't have an intentional grounding on a pass that's illegal.
Right.
You can't. No. Sorry, Josh. That your friend is wrong. Can't be mad, Joel. The rule was made to protect your boy Aaron Rodgers, that roughing the passer rule.
Okay. I can be mad all I want, and I don't need you to tell me. And based on what I saw and the fact that...
Okay, but are you not saying he has a legitimate point? That rule was made to protect Aaron Rodgers, and it came back to bite the Packers in the butt.
I don't disagree.
Okay. I'm not saying right or wrong. It was obviously the wrong call. God, why did I just admit that?
I was wondering. I thought you were going to go all the way to four.
Isolate.
you thought I was going to go all the way to four with it?
Yeah,
I thought it was a clean, you know, I thought he was a clean tie. No. Joel, where'd it go? Barry, talk about grass. Joel can talk about the Packers. No, the Packers are, look, you guys can't get on Pac-Man Joel too much. That story and what happened and that game and Aaron Rodgers, those are all, we would be talking about that if Pac-Man Joel was a Cleveland Browns fan.
Absolutely.
So if he was, you know, Doodle Brown Joel.
Here's the thing that I had to deal with. After week one, first half, and like I said, I was very blessed to have my phone completely crap to bed. because the messages that I got from your team is dog crap to
really?
Your people offensive line is dog crap to at least my teams are on the up while yours is on the decline. And I'm like, it's week one, and we know how putrid preseason has been. Give them a few weeks, and then I'll be the first one to tell you if they are crap. But what they showed me, because Barry had it right on the head, I'm a guy realistically went into that game going, I told Barry during the middle of the week, great pick taking Minnesota. Easy, especially if it's a pick'em or it's 1 or 2 points. That's a slam dunk to me because of what they showed me. They needed one guy who's one of the best to ever do it to try and save their bacon. You can't do that consistently if you're a bad team. They were in that game, and like I said, and should have won that game, in my opinion. So, therefore, that tells me my season isn't over, and I'm happy about that, but I'm realistic.
Your season's not over.
Damn right. I don't care what you say. I'll wear the freaking jersey. I'll dig one out
you
and
sound
I'll
like
wear
Holly.
It.
She's like, our offense played. My offense played bad. No, Holly, you're not out there
I don't,
taking
me
snaps.
Me and we, but you know there's the one team that I'm very close to. And I, even still, I try to avoid the me's and we's.
Yes.
But, look, the Packers are still going to be heard from. They're not crap. And that makes me feel good because now they got Washington and Buffalo.
They'll be all right.
So they should be okay. Yeah. Hopefully his knee gets better.
What did I say? It was just a bone bruise?
I think it's an MCL sprain and a possible bone bruise. But the bottom line was, here's another call in that game, which I don't know if you were watching it or not. But they had a chance to wrap it up again, and he went naked bootleg. And he was so excited that there was open field, he dropped the ball. If he doesn't drop the ball, he gets a first down. And they basically have a chip shot to win it or go in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the fact of the matter was there was a lot of positive signs, but I'll take it for what it's worth. And like I said, if Minnesota, as you and I both have said, is a Super Bowl contender, then at least there's hope that there are some teams that can still get there.
Yeah.
All right, we got still plenty more to get to. We got to Antonio Brown. We got Devontae Davis. We got to kicking.
College football.
We got college football to get to. There were some huge upsets and some big games. And a big one coming up this weekend for the Aggs. And by the way, the Longhorns got a win.
Yeah.
So lots to talk about all over the place.
Blow.
And your Cougars didn't do so.
That was terrible.
Cooged them.
No.
So we got a second half full of things to get to. And if you want to join the show, we'd love to have you. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with the second half. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 975.
You okay?
I'm going to call my grandma.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 975.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Shout out to our boy, Jerry Bowe, giving us the info on Vontae Davis. Good information to know that by cutting him this year, in the next week or so or whatever, now that he has walked away from the team, it's not going to cost him anything simply because of the fact that, for a lot of reasons, I'm just going to give you the gist of it. The Bills get back nearly all of his signing bonus, which was $1.5 million. If they void his contract, they can save almost all of his $2 million base guarantees. And Davis is not eligible for termination pay because it can only be collected once, and he did that last year when he took $3.75 to walk away.
Damn.
And collect. So he's not hurting.
Nope.
And he's going to be just fine. But he's probably not going to play football again. And if he does, then you know exactly what you need to know.
Right.
And by the way, did you see your boy's favorite, Conor McGregor? Quarterback in the Buccaneers to wins now.
The post game was the outside of his performance with Ryan Fitzpatrick, that post game press conference was a thing of beauty.
No question.
If you haven't seen it, DeSean Jackson gave him an outfit to wear, complete with open button shirt, chains.
It was the sweat
jewelry.
Jacket. It was like the shiny sweat jacket.
Oh, was it a jacket?
Unzipped.
I thought it was
unzipped.
A shirt.
Yeah.
Sunglasses. He did look a lot like Conor McGregor.
Sure did.
Just with a more manly beard. But he does the whole press conference, and then DJ, as he called him, DeSean Jackson's like, hey, man, I need my clothes back. And at one point, one of the reporters goes, I was going to ask you, is that all your stuff? He goes, no, this is all DeSean Jackson's. And the guy goes, everything? He goes, no, the chest hair is mine. What a great, and he just deadpan answered it. He didn't laugh. He didn't go, no, the chest hair is mine. And it just kept going. And, oh, God, that was so good. I love moments like that where you just get to have some fun with those guys.
Yeah, you get to win, have some fun. Enjoy it, dude.
Yep, because right now, man, there's a controversy brewing in Tampa.
Yeah, and it's a good controversy to have. And we all know Ryan Fitzpatrick, whether you go back to the Jets days where he had a chance to get him in the playoffs on the final game of the season and threw three picks in the second half to the Texans who had their ups and downs with him. He's going to come down. He's going to not ride this high the entire season. But even when he comes down, is he a guy that manages the game better for you than Jameis and he's not going to be a headache off the field? And is this your way of saying we have a parachute to fall back on if we decide it's time to move on from Jameis Winston and all the crap?
And that all might be a possibility. The concern is, I mean, what do you do at this point? Because if you stick with him and he falters, now you've got a Jameis Winston with hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. And a guy that's like, man, I got suspended, but I didn't lose my job because of poor performance on the field. You made me lose my job because I wasn't able to play because I was suspended and he played, you know, he stepped in and played well. So you're going to have an upset Jameis Winston. But if you make that move back to Jameis Winston and there, because what, does he have one more game or two? Was it a four-game suspension?
Four-game suspension.
So after the Bears, which the way the Bucs are playing, they very well could beat the Steelers and they very well could beat the Bears. And if they're 4-0. Or at worst, 3-1
but Bear,
after
let's
four
be honest,
games.
You and I looked at that schedule at the start of the year, though, and we were like, they're going to be lucky to go 2-2.
Let me finish my point. Because if you don't make that, if you do make the move, then you might lose the locker room. So if you don't make the move, you could lose Jameis Winston, and he's not in it anymore. And you're going to need him later once Ryan Fitzpatrick comes back down to earth. But if you don't go to Jameis Winston, or if you do go to Jameis Winston, then the locker room's like, yo, we're winning. We're 3-1 under this cat. Let him falter first before you make that move. I would not want to be in the position to have to choose because Dirk Cotter's got his work cut out for him as a head coach.
I'm not so sure how well Jameis Winston does with mental pressure. I think you're right. I think he'd be super upset, and I don't think it'll be a good upset either.
No.
It won't be like a motivating upset. It'd be like a bad upset.
Yeah, he'll act like he's, oh, I'm a team player, it's whatever. No. He will check out on the Bucks if that happens.
Let's think about Hard Knocks a year ago. He likes the attention. He liked giving all the speeches in the locker room. He loved the camera. Yeah, he loved all of that extra because he's extra.
Yeah.
And part of being extra is being in a position where you can get that spotlight on a weekly basis. And it's gone. It's gone right now, and it's gone for good reason. Because like I said, you and I looked at that when we first started talking about the suspension and said, man, with that tough of a schedule to open up the season with the Saints, with the, you know, all Eagles the Steelers and Eagles and all that.
All three of those perennial
Super Bowl
teams.
They're lucky to win one or two games out of that four. Now they're sitting at 2-0, and they got a legitimate shot to catch a really crappy Steelers team. I mean, I'm telling you what, if he's 3-1 or God for unbelievable, if he's 4-0 coming out of those four games, I don't think there's any way in hell you sit him down.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, you've got to ride the hot hand, and I would have normally not say that, but the way he's playing, you can't deny that. It'd be different if they were scraping by or got lucky or defense was keeping them in games, but that's not, I mean, right now that's second worst defense in the NFL as far as yards allowed.
But let me remind you, too, that when we talk to ex-players, including the guys that we had on here, but other ex-players, too, when we were dealing with all this with Brock Osweiler, and do you sit him down, and do you put in Tom Savage or whoever the case may be, regardless of what they're making and how much you paid to get him? The guys in the locker room, all they care about is W's. And they know right now that this guy's getting them W's and keeping them in games. And even if they lose a game or two, you know that you don't have to question where his head's at, what he's doing off the field, you know, what he's doing to try and, you know, get this team where they need to be. And so from a locker room perspective, I think if you pulled them anonymously, I think most all the guys on the team would say, you got to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, if they're having that much fun this early against two teams they were supposed to lose to, I'm with you. I think that that locker room would be, like I said, if Dirk Cotter does bring back Winston, he might lose that locker room just by just by making that choice.
You're absolutely right, because that's one where if you just go, no one's going to fault you because you're just going with what's working.
Right.
But if you go against the norm and you go with a decision like that, you're right. You could lose the entire franchise, not just the locker room.
Yep, indeed. How do you guys?
I'm sorry, I was going to say, but you're talking about even the coaching staff, because the coaching staff, they weigh in too.
Yeah, and they do have a say in
that
it.
That would
yeah.
be big.
Robert wants to know, how do you guys feel about the two ties in the NFL over the past 2 weeks? Do you think this should change the rule? I do. I like the way that college football does it. The question that you got to ask yourself is, it's a whole different level of play and physical exertion and risk to injury when you start. If you got two teams, now, you know, you might start, instead of on the 25, you might start them on the 50. You got to get into field goal range at least. But I like that opportunity where it goes back and forth. And ending in a tie to me is just, this is why some people don't like sports like soccer. I don't want a tie in soccer. I want a winner. You don't play sports to just everyone go home when we shouldn't have played that game. And that's exactly what you get when there's a tie. And so I just feel like in any sport, regardless of what it is, there should be an outcome. And a tie, to me, is not an outcome.
Yeah, I mean, you always want an outcome. You don't want a tie. I feel like in soccer, though, it's just so, it happens way too much.
It annoys me.
Just so have football, it doesn't happen as much. Obviously, when it does happen, it aggravates us. But yeah. Even Kirk Cousins, he's like, he even mentioned in the mm-hmm. post-game presser, he's like, it's not necessarily wise to continue playing. It's a really violent sport. He doesn't like draws.
No, I thought think he also said that he didn't like it ending without a winner. That they
absolutely
came to win.
But he also said it wasn't wise to continue playing.
Which is the point. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to play. But, okay, so play an extra quarter. And then if that doesn't work, guess what? Go down to like a penalty kick scenario where both kickers have to kick 50 yarders.
Well, the Vikings are out.
Yeah, but I'm saying start at 50. And if they both make it, guess what? You move back 3 yards. Now you both got to make a 53-yarder and then a 56-yard.
That's not a bad idea because you're kind of taking the violent part out of it. Yeah, at least most of it.
Play the quarter and then just have it come down to something like penalty kicks.
The damn kicker gets more love than not even being called by name.
How often does a kicker win a game anyways? It happens. I mean, there's plenty of times where that happens. So,
well, you know how I feel about ties. I love them. I think they should just continue with them.
I just
for the beauty of the game.
I don't know what the answer is. I'm just spitballing here with the penalty kicks. But damn it, man. Just decide the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. Even Teddy Bruschi and a lot of ex-players were saying, look, we're professionals.
It's horrible.
There's a winner and there's a loser every week. This tie stuff, it's not like playing soccer with, you know, fourth graders. This is the real deal.
L.U. Dillon said, am I blocked after last week's hoedown? No, you're not blocked. You guys stop asking if you're blocked, too.
And if if you feel like you are, the best bet and the best course of action is write John a long email and plead for your tweets to be read. I mean, your text to be read again. I do want to tell you right now about the people at Texas Can Academies before we go any further. It's a great program here in the Houston area. It is the people of Houston helping out kids trying to get a second chance at an education. And that's what you really want to hear about when you're talking about Texas Can Academies. The money and the donations stay here, and it's all for the benefit of the kids of H-Town. So if you've got a clunker collecting rust and dust in the driveway, in the garage, somewhere, and you just don't know what to do with it, you don't want to spend any money on a tow truck, you don't have to. You just call 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. They come to you. They figure out where you live. They tow it away. They do the paperwork. You do all of the little things that you need to do in terms of getting it off your property, getting it off your hands, and then they turn that donation into resources that kids desperately need, from more meals and book money to bus fare and eyeglasses. They take care of details so kids can focus on the studies and get their degree. So consider donating if you have anything that you're thinking about getting rid of, whether it be a motorcycle, a truck, a car, a boat, RV, a trailer. It doesn't have to be running. Like I said, just give them a call. 713-225-4226 or carsforkids.org. We will be back with much more of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, almost done with hour number 2, 3-hour show. Time's flying as we're having some fun and talking about a whole bunch of stuff. Tons of sports that we've already gotten to, some that we still have to get to. Astros, college football, lots of stuff going on. The Rockets lose an assistant coach, the fight, lots of stuff. And if we don't, we know it'll spill over till tomorrow. But a good day to be doing what we do with you, because there's plenty to talk about with topics galore.
A couple more texts. The pest control guy said the Steelers need to just go ahead and pay Bell. They could have won that game yesterday. Yeah, if they, any kind of running attack.
But does that solve all their woes? Because like you said, their defense looks awful.
Defense looks bad, but I think that having a running game can help with ball control. You keep that defense off the field if you're able to run the ball and chew up a little more clock.
Plus, so you keep them off of Ben's ass because Ben's getting beat up.
But like you said earlier in the show, man, that's a locker room in turmoil. And Brown wants to be traded. Le'Veon Bell and his problems. The offensive line that wasn't happy with Le'Veon Bell calling him out. So bit of disarray. I wonder if Big Ben's like, wait a minute, I was going to retire. I came back for all this? That could be bad news for them. With Edelman, Gronk, and Gordon, who are you going to double team? With another great player, the Pats could be in the Super Bowl again. That was Rob.
They did good on Gronk yesterday.
Yeah, Edelman, Gronk, and Gordon, though. That would just be tough.
To make sure Gordon stays on the up and up, too. But, I mean, look, if he does, and again, a lot of people... That winning cures a lot that ails you.
Yeah.
And if you get out of a losing situation like you've been in ever since you've been a Brown, and you get to a winning environment where winning breeds winning and guys around you are supporting you and have your back and the coaches are working with you to make a difference, sure, he's a hell of a talent.
How about he's one of the best receivers in the NFL talent-wise. He's just a head case.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes those moves can change a guy, and just because he doesn't want to let everyone else down, he doesn't want to be the pariah on a good team. From Amazon B's brother. Hate to be that soccer guy, but Italian soccer is an outcome. It's a point-based system. No, it's a stupid system.
It's
the dumbest thing ever. A tie is stupid. So you can make whatever excuse you want.
He's talking about like over time they accumulate all the points. It doesn't matter. In the game, there's still a draw.
So. That's why that football is worse than this football.
We've talked about it on here forever. I hate the fact that a tie in soccer happens, and especially if you actually go to a game and you spend over 3 hours watching a 0-0 tie and there's nothing solved. I want that 3 hours of my life back.
Kill me now. If I had to watch that, just die.
I watched USA Mexico at NRG Stadium.
Did you?
After 3 hours, I went, that's it? We're ending in a zero. Do I get something back in return?
You're not going to get your time back, that's for sure.
No doubt.
You watch any college games, Joel?
Uh-huh.
Any? I'm just curious.
Sure did, Mr. Someone Check on Pac-Man Joel with bug eyes all over the place on Twitter. I told y'all over and over again.
You did.
They weren't worth a top five ranking. I don't trust their quarterback. I don't like their quarterback. And Wisconsin proved all of that more. And then some. I still thought they'd win the game. But to lose to BYU, they got exactly what they deserve. They get all the people crapping on them now saying they weren't worthy of being to be picked as one of the final four at the end of the year. And I completely agree with all of that.
Well, but now you were the one that would raise the question when they would win, and you'd be like, how do they drop in the polls?
Well, if they're winning by 20-plus points and still dropping in the rankings, I got a problem with that. Because
But who'd they beat, though?
Well, I get that. I'm saying.
Who was it? Western Kentucky?
New Mexico?
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, because Ohio State or Oklahoma were putting a bigger lamb basting on schools that were basically similar. I mean, it's like, okay, great.
So the big move, so the new poll is out, if you care. So here's some of the big movers on the poll.
Mm-hmm.
LSU.
Fantastic.
Jumps up 6 spots. Well earned.
But I got a problem with that, too.
Okay. Well, hold on. Okay. So LSU jumps up 6 spots. Oklahoma State up 9. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin falls 12 spots.
They should keep falling.
And Aggie jumps into the fray, makes their debut, their top 25 debut at number 22.
Short-lived.
It won't last long.
Let me tell you about Alabama.
They got Bama up next. So what was your problem with LSU?
Who's above LSU in the standings?
Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama.
Okay. Then I saw a different poll because, they had Auburn and they had another school.
Coach's poll has Auburn at 11 and LSU at 6. And the AP poll, which is the one everybody will go by right now, has Auburn at 9.
Okay, good. Because I just think LSU deserves – look, I'm pulling for Edo and all the crap he takes and the fact that they've been down for a little bit. But I love the fact that it makes the SEC and college football better as a whole when LSU competes. And they have a shot. And they do. And I think that's great.
My favorite part of Ed Ogeron winning football games is they get to interview him, and you can't understand a word he says.
But you understand the last two words out of his mouth every interview.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
He's like the Boomhauer or Boomhauer of coaches. He just mm-hmm. like, man, them dang old football players, man. They get out there, they run around, and bang, 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 go Tigers. Like, you're like, what just happened?
But he can cuss like a trucker, too, though, because they got him on the sideline with the security guy after, and he drops a couple of, just clear as day, F-bombs about, I told you that we were going to get that one and everything like that. But, yeah, he just, give a chance to win. Go Tigers.
That game... I mean, LSU struggled early on just to get anything going offensively, and I thought, uh-oh, this could get ugly. But they built a 10-0 lead. They kept coming back. LSU was a team. There's a few teams coming into this weekend that I wasn't sold on. Texas, USC, which they settled that on the field, and LSU. And those were three teams that I thought, I think these might be fool's gold. And I said as much about LSU. I thought they might be fool's gold with some of the wins that they had, but they proved it, man. I didn't think that Miami win was all that good because I didn't trust Miami. I think that they were maybe overhyped, similar to what I thought about USC. I thought USC was overhyped all along and said as much when we did our picks on Friday. I wasn't a believer in USC, and then they got stomped by Texas. And good for Texas for doing that. And that was a good win for Tom Herman, but LSU, I wasn't believing it. I just felt like that win against Miami wasn't much for me. But, man, that's two legitimate wins over top 10 teams at the time. They earned the ranking. I think they've now we're going to see what they do in conference play, but I thought they earned it.
I agree. I completely agree. No.
USC, though, that Texas-USC game, I was a little...
I'm a little disappointed in how bad USC got in 1 year.
I was nervous for Texas because I felt like that they were in, man, if they lost that game, but that was a big win for that program. And also I saw somewhere that was their 900th win. Only two teams in college football to have 900 plus wins. Take a guess.
SC is the other one?
Nope. That's a good guess.
Alabama.
No, another good guess. Ohio State and Michigan. Only two teams to have 900 plus wins. So you're three teams with 900 wins now, Ohio State, Michigan, and Texas, yeah.
Do you feel like, because I was with you, but do you feel like if Texas had dropped that game that legitimately Herman was on the hot seat?
Yes. Okay. And I know USC was ranked 22nd, but I think a lot of people felt like that USC was is a bad program. But not only did they beat them, I mean, they trounced them. They gave up the 14 points in the first half and then shut them down after that, and it wasn't close. And I was happy for Sam Ehlinger because, man, he had played really bad so far this mm-hmm. year, and he had a decent game, not a great game, but a decent game. They were able to run the ball. But JT Daniel, he went off 322 yards but did nothing with it. So good win for Texas. But, yeah, I think Tom Herman – saved his season by getting that win. Good luck. Not winning the Big 12, but that's a good win for this program early
they
on.
They needed
for
him. It, right? You said, yeah. That's the biggest thing. You know, it's a get-right win because they needed it and they got it.
Yeah, and you want to talk about your Badgers on the other side?
Sure don't.
No? What happened
I'm
there?
I'm good. They crapped the bed. Then they rolled in it. Then after getting it stuck all over in their eyelids and nasal passages, they decided to just watch their fat kicker kick it right away.
All right. Well, hey, guys, I want to tell you about MyBookie. If football season is here, now's your chance to get in on some of the action and not just watch the games. Who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with, and MyBookie is the online destination to get in on that action. Safe, reliable. They've been in business for years, and you know what I love about MyBookie? They pay you. When you win money, you get your money back, and they'll pay you for it. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and if you're a fantasy guy, you can even bet on the over-under on fantasy points for a player in the game, in each game. It's awesome. Go to mybookie.ag for more information, or you can just Google MyBookie. That's MyBookie. Super easy to do. And right now, they'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That's right. A dollar for dollar match on your first deposit. Just use promo code radio to activate that offer. One more time. Go to mybookie.ag, put in promo code radio, get a dollar for dollar match. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. We'll be right back.